Hi, I'm Jo Allen. I'm a holistic health teacher and founder of The Humble Warrior based in St. Leonard's-on-Sea.
Hello, I'm Heidi Rickson and I'm a Reiki healer, teacher and sound healer.
Welcome to Resonance Space. Hello and welcome to Resonance Space podcast. And this episode is why are we still podcasting? Because it's been about a year, coming up to a year, we've been doing this. We're just reflecting on the year and why, how things have changed.
Why are we still podcasting?
Because it's fun. good question. I think, it's because it's fun and we get to explore different topics that we might not have time to either think about or, because we bring topics to each other, don't we? So, it might be something that we go, oh, that's interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, and different points of view on things that we think we already know.
And I always learn something.
Yeah, exactly. Every day's a school day. I love that phrase. Because it's true. That's why we're here. That's why we're on this planet. It's just experience and learn.
I like the experience part better.
Yeah. Oh, I don't. I like learning.
Well, I learn.
I'm a bit of a geek.
Oh, tell me about it.
I just have too many books on the go because I'm interested in too many topics. And then I go, right, no, one at a time. So that, yeah. Oh.
Okay, so I had to stop recording for a minute so I could start coughing.
That time of year.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's got something.
My allergies start about now.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
In the background.
Hmm. And then they just ramp up for summer, just,
I hope not this year.
Yeah.
I have a plan. Uh-huh. I have tools.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
Another topic. And that's a good topic for people, how to manage allergies. So why are we still podcasting? I was saying that, we were saying it's about experience and learning. And you're about the experience and I'm about the learning. That's interesting, actually, that we come at things from different, slightly different perspectives. Because we both have to have both, otherwise that wouldn't work.
I think for me it's both. I think because I love learning so much that I don't even think of it as learning. Because I'm doing it so often, it's like a lifestyle for me.
No, I agree with that. Yes, definitely. And I think a lot has probably changed in a year, hasn't it, in terms of what we have learned and experienced, and just our perspectives, I suppose, must have changed if we reflect on that.
So how has your perspective changed since March of 2024?
I can't even think. It's changed in so many ways. This year has probably been the big... Hasn't been the biggest change year of my life, but it's been one of them. And more of a positive change year, actually, because I think that my previous big change was negative and learning and coming through and surviving. Whereas this one has been, kind of bringing in what I want into my life. So in the last year, I've opened a studio space that's thriving and everyone's really enjoying it. And I'm now looking at opening a second one within a year, which is quite crazy. But it's definitely diverted my focus.
Mm. From what your practice, you mean?
Yeah, from what I was doing a year ago, which was much more... a lot more yoga, actually. I think yoga was my primary, focus that I was teaching. And now I really am more about building spaces and holding spaces for community.
Mm.
Which I didn't realise until I've had a few, deep meditations where I've had messages and that sort of thing. And it's been a lot around community.
Mm.
And bringing people together for, certain types of healing that then kind of, wave outwards. Like the healing starts with the person, but that then ripples out to other people. And so that basically has become a bit of my calling, I guess.
Well, it's not really different than teaching yoga in a way. It's just a different mechanics, if you will.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, yeah. The intention was always the same, was to bring people into a space and try and make them feel better, which is also the point of the podcast, because that was our, we were saying, you know, when we first started this, we're like, even if you feel 5% better.
5%?
5% better, you know, we've helped you. In a very, you know, because, you know, things don't have to be giant leaps.
No.
They can be gradual moves towards, yeah, things that make you feel good and things that make, you know, things that open your perspective as well. I think that's really important, is that we're very, oh, how do I get into this without starting to sound conspiracy theorists? But, you know, we are, it's more convenient for the powers that be if we are down focused, if we're not looking up, if we're not, you know, questioning things, if we're not searching for, you know, more, you know, that it's more convenient if we just do our jobs, pay the bills, pay someone else's bills, you know, da da da, which is very kind of tunnel vision. But when we start to expand, that's when, you know, I think kind of more magical things happen.
It's a new way of being, isn't it? And it seems like, to me anyway, more and more people are searching for a new way of being.
And it's so necessary, because the old way of being doesn't really work or serve us. You know, we've got the highest ever rates of mental health issues, physical health issues, you know, unhappiness, you know, disconnection, loneliness, things, you know, things that were meant to help us, like, so, you know, social tools, or, you know, I mean, not one of us doesn't have some sort of, what's it called, like an Android's type phone glued to our hands all the time. I didn't want to go into brands then, so I was thinking, what's the collective name for these for these things that rule our lives, essentially? But yeah, so not one of us doesn't have that. I mean, if you do, hats off, and I don't know how you don't know how you do it, but yeah, so it's about looking up for me, just looking outwards and stop focusing down. Because we've become very insular. We think we're connected by looking at this device. And I do as well, you know. I think that I see all my friends all the time because I might see their, you know, their photos. But I'm not actually connecting with them. I'm not having a conversation and finding out how they are. I'm seeing how they've portrayed themselves on a social media that is starting to rule our lives. So, yeah, so I think it's that, isn't it? When we start connecting to things that, you know, the planet, the world, nature, things that are more tangible, we start to look outwards again.
So that's what your kind of new focus is on, expanding outwards, starting with the individual and the community.
Yeah. So I've been saying this in my sessions recently, because I think all my teachings and trainings, of which I do many because I'm the obsessive learner, I've realized that all these different wisdoms, you know, religions, wisdoms, philosophies, whatever they are, whatever they're packaged up as, it's all the same. It's all just a method, and whatever people's words are or images, it doesn't really matter. It's all about just looking inside, you know, self-inquiry, finding out what our true essence is, before we can then connect to something that's bigger than ourselves, whether it's energy or whether it's a, you know, a creator, a God. Again, it doesn't matter about the word, but it's something that's bigger. But first we have to understand ourselves. Otherwise we can't, I don't think we can connect into this universal energy source, whatever we want to call it. And we're kept disconnected, because when we are watching Netflix or on our phones or in a job where we're stressed, we're not connecting with either of them. We're not connecting with ourselves. We're not connecting with anything that's bigger. And yeah, and I think, you know, it keeps us very 3D. Keeps us in this, you know, in this world where we're taught that you just, you know, are born, go to school, get married, buy a house, retire and die. And that there has to be more than that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I know so, actually.
Exactly. I think, you know, if you start, there has to be more than that, because it doesn't feel fulfilling, I suppose.
I think as a society, a lot of people are starting to realize that. There's an underlying static or underlying unease, if you will, that I've been sensing for quite a while now, but it seems to be getting stronger.
Yeah.
And I think we both are hoping to help people understand why they might be feeling uneasy and possibly offer them some guidance and where they can look to get some help, get some answers.
That's exactly it. I think it's just showing people that there's another way if you want it. And if you don't want it, you're very welcome to leave it.
There's actually tons of ways.
Yeah, exactly. So more than I'm even aware of. So with opening this second centre that I really want to be a centre of healing and, you know, energy work, and there are some practices I've never even heard of. People are coming and saying, oh, I do this. I'm like, what's that? That sounds amazing. So, you know, there's still things I'm discovering myself, and I'm just like, wow, people need to know about this. I don't need to learn it and train it and teach it myself. I've managed to stop myself.
I was going to say, keep that in mind.
Because every time I find something fascinating, I'm like, oh, I want to teach that. I'm like, no, it's okay. But it's amazing. I get absolutely drawn in. I love it. I get absolutely drawn in. And I think that's the other thing, is to keep being curious.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favourite things, is to, yeah, just go back to almost being that childlike curiosity that you had when you were discovering everything and like, wow, what's this? What's this? What's this? And then as we get older, we lose that, don't we?
We do.
Mm. And that goes back a little bit to the fun podcast we did about how we we forget how to have fun. And we forget how to be curious. And I think wonder is one of the most amazing traits to have. Just like, oh, you know, just looking around and finding wonder in everything is just beautiful. And it just, yeah, it makes everything feel a bit lighter if you're discovering and you don't think you know everything or think that everything is already set out for you. You know, there's a million possibilities. If you've just chosen one, that's fine. But just, you know, there are still a million possibilities.
Well, you can try one on for size.
Yeah, exactly.
See if it fits.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the thing that I feel when I speak to people is they feel trapped.
Mm.
So you might, you know, I don't know, because my life is completely different to when I used to, you know, work in London, work in fashion, big mortgage, marriage, you know, not, I don't have any of those anymore, you know. But I think when you're trapped in that cycle of, oh my God, I have to pay my mortgage, you can't see another way because the only focus is paying those bills and paying that mortgage. So, you know, when I speak to people, they're like, well, what, you know, I can't do what you do. I can't go and teach yoga on the beach and have fun in yurts and, you know, doing full moon ceremonies. And I'm like, well, you can. Mm-hmm. You can do anything you want. There is not, the only thing stopping you is the choices that you've decided to stick with.
I think some of that hesitation on people's parts might be that what they perceive are healers, yoga teachers, energy healers, you know, regardless of the modality, they have a certain image maybe in mind of who that person is, which is more than likely extremely unrealistic.
Possibly. Yeah. What, and they would think that they couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could never look like that. I could never do what looks like... It looks like they're. It's so easy for them. And, oh my goodness, it looks very daunting.
Yes. Yeah, and I think there is that. And again, that probably goes back to social media and how it's portrayed there. So if I'd have thought too much about becoming a yoga teacher and I'd looked at social media and gone, oh my God, I can't do that, and I'm not bendy and I'm not that, I would have talked myself out of it. And I still do actually talk myself out of it when I see all the all the, you know, let's say quote unquote typical yoga girls. I think, oh well, I'm not that, how can I be one? And maybe that's part of the reason I've stepped back from it a little bit, because it starts to become a bit intimidating and overwhelming. And actually I think maybe I fit better here, you know, where I'm creating circles and it's more about meditation and that sort of thing, and that doesn't feel competitive. You do see other modalities that are competitive, like breathwork. I feel has got really competitive. It's like, look at me, I'm amazing.
Really?
Breathwork facilitator. I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah, you'll get like, you know, influencers in breathwork and that sort of thing, and they come up with all these names for things, and you go, well, that's just, you know, it's just breathing, but you've made it sound like some fancy new thing that's never been invented before, but which is fine. I think, you know, marketing has its place because we all have to make our work sound interesting, otherwise no one would come to us. So, you know, I'm not saying they're wrong in any way, but that each time something becomes a bit commercial and then you have influencers involved, kind of loses it a little bit, I think. I think people lose trust a little bit or think they can't do it. Either way, it really sort of bugs me because it's a really ancient, simple practice. Both of them are ancient and simple. And I think I saw a brilliant video recently with a lady from India saying, you know, she was in America and it was a comedy sketch, and she was saying about Americans rushing to yoga classes. She was like, you're all rushing
yeah.
with your designer mats and your designer pants, rushing. She's like, you've completely missed the point of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're buying $80 sweatpants. And, you know, it was just really funny. She was brilliant. And I just thought, exactly, you've missed the point. So then it makes me kind of step away from it a little bit. Because even within my studio, I kind of see that happening. And I go, oh, I'm not that.
Mm.
And, you know, it's weird. It's very strange. So I think then it's about me bringing my confidence back and going, no, I know what I'm offering is different.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone will want it. Some people will want the $80 sweatpants, rushing, you know, rocket yoga, and that's brilliant. But it's not my yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's always a constant battle with yourself, I think, with any of this. Like, am I doing it right? Am I good? Am I good enough? Imposter syndrome.
Well, I think we all get that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But the one thing that you can do better than anyone else is bring yourself into the practice. So you are your authentic self when you're doing your teaching. And that means that there is absolutely no one else that is the same.
Yeah. No, that's very true. And that is what I would tell someone if they asked me, but it's harder to tell yourself.
Of course it is.
So yeah, I think that's changed in a way. I've kind of switched the focus, but because I am, you know, obviously the focus is around this, the studios, the communities. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with the fact that it's kind of gone that way, and I'm more interested in energy work. I was never know what to call it, but, you know, more interested in that side than the physical work.
Mm.
But they complement each other so well that I would never leave one behind. I just switch the focus a little bit. And how about you?
I've gotten extremely into my energy work. I have to say that, you know, I had actually wanted to start teaching classes last year, and I didn't feel like I had enough of a handle on the whole idea to want to teach someone about it or group and how to do it. So I spent the last year really honing my own skills, expanding my perspective, learning as much as possible, but also understanding sort of what I just said to you, that there is no one else that's going to do it like I do it, because as long as you bring your authentic self to the table, people are going to get something different out of it. And that is actually the best thing that I could bring to the table, well, besides, you know, ability and all that stuff, is myself.
So that you've learned that in the last year?
I have.
Oh.
I have. And then, of course, my plant allies that I've grown to really love, appreciate, and there's not a day that goes by that I'm not grateful to not only just plants, but all the nature around me.
Mm.
Expanded my view on nature in general, because I used to think, well, nature's really nice and you can walk and it gives you so much peace and healing, but it was more of a general thing. And in the past year, I've discovered it's also very specific. So each plant, tree, bird, they all have their unique ways, their unique energy signals, their unique energy fields, if you will. And they're each one is an individual, and being able to go out there and connect with all of that has been transformative, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And how has that helped you, do you think? Or
it really has. It's reinforced the way of thinking that everything is connected. Mm. It's relatively easy to say that and even mean it. But when you start connecting more deeply with nature and all the little individual pockets, I mean, rocks, there's just things that you wouldn't normally think of connecting with. And even though I think the way I interact with people as well, it's just as much of an energetic exchange as it is a verbal exchange.
Mm.
And that's been extraordinary.
And do you think other people notice that as well? Or do you think they're quite oblivious?
I've never asked.
Yeah.
Do you notice it?
I don't know. I was wondering. I wonder if people react to you differently if you're... Do you know what I mean? Meeting them energetically rather than just at face value, which is probably what we all do. You know, hello, how are you? You know, just whereas if you're kind of feeling into their energy, do they react differently? Do they?
From my perspective, I have no idea.
Hmm.
Because it's always a gradual change, and development and expansion is usually a gradual process.
Hmm, okay.
So just like people don't realize how much their children have grown until someone says, oh, it's been 6 months and you've got so tall. So unless I was specifically keeping track of that, it's really difficult for me to say. But the most important thing is that I feel better.
Yes, of course, that's the most important thing.
Well, no. If I feel better, then I can help other people feel better.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've gained the confidence that you think you can teach now, that's amazing.
No, I know I can. I don't think I can. I know I can.
Exactly. You know you can. But that's good because, yeah, I know the difference between I think I can and I know I can. Mm. And I know the difference in a session if I've gone, oh, I think, you know, or I'm really, you know, passionate and like, this is me. The difference is like wild.
Mm.
The difference in reaction of people. If I'm really passionate and just like blah blah blah, and by the end I go, God, sorry, I just chewed your ear off, they're like, no, it's amazing. And you're like, okay.
Well, that's you bringing your authentic self,
yeah, exactly,
to the table, and it comes through.
Yeah, so I think it's really important to recognize that and not try and, what I have done is just try and do everything.
Mm. Really? You?
Yeah, no. I don't. And some of it doesn't feel right.
Mm.
You know, you go, maybe that's not my forte. But it's good to try it, though, because how do you know otherwise?
You don't know until you try.
Yeah. So what else has happened to you in the last year?
Some of it has to do with my health and the way I look after myself.
Mm.
Last year, I had some really massively severe seasonal allergies, probably more than I've ever had before, and I can remember.
Mm.
Nothing seemed to work. I'm not sure if I've mentioned this on a podcast before. And that is actually what got me to start using plants, actual flowers and leaves. I don't get them somewhere else. I actually go get them myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So successfully tempering my allergies, as well as treating my menopausal symptoms, which most importantly included severe insomnia. Mm. And that was crippling, I must say, or at least it hobbled me a bit. Not necessarily crippling, that's a bit dramatic. Me dramatic? No. But it's it was a gradual process. It changed my relationship not only with plants, but with the way I look at the world as well. And it amped up my gratitude as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the magic that's in the, you know, nature around us, it's, we take it for granted, don't we?
We do, and it's nice to be able to discover it. Everyone would be able to discover it in their own way. They don't have to go. I do not recommend that you did what I did. Do not go out foraging. Yeah, no
eating.
Experiment. No, no. Do not do that.
Eating mushrooms and seeing what happens.
No, especially not that. No.
There are people that are experts for a reason, aren't they?
Exactly.
And there's, I guess there's a lot you can pick up through books or online thing if you want to have a, you know, delve deeper into that.
I don't feel comfortable enough recommending anything, but I do recommend that you don't do it yourself.
Yes, it might go wrong.
And yes, there are, like you said, there are books, there are classes.
Yeah.
There are lots of ways to learn about this, but it's not just take an hour class and then you know.
Yeah, no, there's an experience part to that, which is very important.
It is.
You'd have to test what works for you, you know, because it's not going to be, as we've kind of said before, it's obviously not going to be the same for everyone. So, yeah, what makes someone feel better? Because I, what's popping into my head is that the more local, the better, isn't it? Because if you have your local honey, you're less likely to have any allergies or anything like that, I think, because, I don't know.
Well, that's similar to if you buy food locally, as close to where you live as possible.
Yeah.
It interacts with your body's chemistry and even your energy better because you're in a similar energetic space.
That's what I was trying to say, but not very well. Something about honey.
Just different.
I knew what I was getting at, but I was like, yes, you just explained that perfectly. It is that, isn't it? It's the, there's something about, you know, what's around you that is better for your energetic, your like bioenergy. So that's really interesting because when we, you know, go further afield and import everything, what's that doing to our,
That's a whole huge box of snakes.
You're looking at me going, we're not talking about that right now.
No, maybe some other time.
Yeah, well, it's interesting though. But so I think the journeys that we've both had have been different but similar. It always is, isn't it? Because we had our month journey, which was different but similar. And even the year journey's been different but similar. We've both been delving into something that feels more natural to us. Without really worrying what the people think or what the, I find everything fascinating, but I'm getting more and more fascinated with the cosmos and astrology and the planets, moon, stars. Absolutely obsessed with star seeds at the moment. I'd love to discover that I'm a star seed.
Well, we can do that on another podcast.
I love it. See, that's the sort of thing that I talk about and people go, whoa, that's interesting. And I'm like, okay, excellent. I'm going to get you all interested. but first we have to work on ourselves. That I really do feel that. Because I think you can be too spaced out as well. You can be...
Get it, spaced out.
Spaced out, exactly. But you can. I think you can be too much in the, you know, in the clouds and looking at things and go, wow. But then there's so much about... I mean, you've just given me this amazing gift for grounding. And I think that's what I need. I can quite happily run away with stuff and come up with ideas and, you know, be all in my air and space and ether. But I need to ground because then I feel really unstable. And then I go, it's all too much. And then I get anxiety.
That is why I gave it to you.
Exactly. Which is exactly. And I think that's interesting because that's your... your safe space, isn't it? It's the earth and the plants and all these amazing jars of things that you've collected from earth. And I almost forget earth a little bit. I go straight up and go, oh, energy, connecting to the stars, connecting to the cosmos. I think you need both.
So I think at the end of all this, I think we both went deeper into our own selves and discovered or connected more to things that maybe we didn't know we were as interested in as we are. So it's been a year of self-discovery and expansion.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and I think to keep that going is quite exciting, really, because who else knows what we're going to discover? So in a year.
And that is why we're still podcasting.
Exactly.
Thank you for joining the journey here on Resonant Space.
I've been Jo.
And Heidi.
And if you want to contact us, you can get in touch at our email address, info@the-humblewarrior.co.uk. So just if you have any questions about any episodes, if you have any topics you'd like us to explore, or if you are a practitioner yourself and would like to come on the podcast and discuss a subject, that would be amazing. So yes, feel free to get in touch. Thank you.